Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Steve Krakow, are you there, Steve?
Here.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Great. You're an illustrator. You're a writer. You're avant-garde. You're a musician. You're a musician historian. You have the secret history of Chicago music to shine a light on worthy artists with Chicago ties who've been forgotten, underrated, or never noticed in the first place. And I'm going down the list of the songs, or the bands, rather. Excuse me. And I see The Kind.
Hey.
Now, listen, listen. That song that I just played, this parody song on Dirty Deeds by AC/DC about Jane Byrne.
It fooled me for a second. I was like, hey, okay, he's rocking. Oh, no.
That's The Kind. That's The Kind back at me.
Oh.
I went, what? What, are you kidding me, The Kind? Oh, and I think it's Mark's birthday today.
Wow.
Did you know them?
No, not personally. Like, I always saw their records in the bins, and
yeah,
I always
yeah.
kind of meant to cover them. And but
yeah.
No, not personally.
Well, boy, that got me going. So, and in fact,
I talked to Stan. Stan Scora.
Stan Scora.
He was in an early lineup of The Kind. There were two very distinct lineups. I did not know this until I researched it myself. And he was in an early lineup of the bands.
I just texted or messaged Sandy Gardner, who's married to Mark Gardner in the band. I'm going, hey, they're in Arizona or California. Said, get on WGN right now. It's streaming. Get on that. We're talking about The Kind. Awesome. So how?
See, I should have talked to you when I was doing my research.
You would have
put me in touch with everyone.
No, well, that's not true. So tell me a little bit. We've got some other examples of some of the. Well, wait a minute. Let's back up a little bit. What inspired you to delve into this as a project for the secret history of Chicago music?
Oh boy, let me think. So this is technically the 15th year. This is the 15-year anniversary of secret history of Chicago music. If you can believe
okay.
it,
I believe it.
A weird year to make a big deal about it, so I haven't really, you know. So I started in comics and sort of fanzines, and I started a kind of magazine/fanzine in the 90s where I would sort of draw up obscure bands that I liked and write about them, and called Galactic Zoo Dossier.
Galactic Zoo Dossier?
Yes, if you remember that, you get a prize.
I do not, but I like the name.
And I know, so I was just writing up a lot of Chicago bands, and back in those days, Chicago Reader and the old classified ads, I know, remember those days, four sections,
sure. Oh, yes.
Man.
Who's appearing where, what night?
Exactly.
Yes.
I noticed they were looking for comics, like submissions for comics to go in the Reader. So I thought, what if I did kind of like a little Chicago-centric sort of, not exactly a comic, not exactly a column. I, for lack of a better word, I call it an info strip.
Okay.
There you go.
That.
It's not a comic strip. It's not a column. Hey, there you go. You know, and I pitched it to them, and I kind of had to work on the format a little bit. But, they went for it, and I've been kind of doing it ever since.
So do you publish some sort of journal about your conclusions as to who these bands are?
Well, they appear in the Reader every 2 weeks, every other week.
Okay.
To this day, for the last 15 years.
Gosh, you know what? I think I rented an
partially online, partially printed is the Reader thing these days.
I think I rented an apartment from the ads in the Reader.
I used to look for apartments in there too, actually.
Yeah.
It was a big deal when they came out on like Thursday or something, and you would be like, I got to get first crack at this place, you know? Yeah.
And now my brain is flashing back to a place called the Thirsty Whale.
Would that be?
That was a club, right?
Yeah, I was there. I was there. I caught the end of the Thirsty Whale.
There was on Rush Street, not Rush Street, Division. Oh, gosh, what was that club?
There were a few Mothers, basement. I think.
Mothers.
Was on Division.
That was it. Mothers was on Division.
And yeah, all these
bands
still
would play.
Kind of there.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if it's exactly like it used to be or if it's even in the same location, because that's a little bit before my time, but it is. There is still, I don't think it's Mother Blues, I think it's just Mothers, but I think it's still there.
And back in that day, now hold on a second, let me see if I can get this right. The drinking age in Wisconsin at that time was 18.
Yeah, I believe so, and I think...
And all the bands went up into Wisconsin to play clubs there because they could get a crowd in there that was 18 that could drink.
And
everybody knows the later in the evening it gets when people are drinking, the better the band sounds. I think that's a well-known...
And the more the drinks are selling.
That's right. So how about Off-Broadway?
I actually did cover them indeed for Secret History. I did.
They were a great band.
Yeah, they were kind of that whole, there was a, you know, for lack of a better term, some people call that, you know, power pop.
That's right.
You know, sort of a posthumous term. They didn't really use that much in the day. But,
I think that's a legitimate term, power pop. I thought The Kind was a power pop band, and the culmination of my association with The Kind was, I didn't do anything with them, but I was with them out at the Rosemont Horizon. They opened up for Duran Duran.
I did hear that they opened for Duran Duran.
Yeah,
I
sure
snuck
did.
That in there. That's a pretty big gig.
Yeah, I'd say so. Let's talk about some of these other groups that you mentioned here that I'm not familiar with. The Resurrection Band.
That's an interesting one. I have to admit, I just became familiar with them recently as well. I'm always sort of snooping around looking for old bands I haven't heard of. And they were really popular, too.
What era would this be in?
They go back to the early 70s and pretty much till the mid-2000s.
I'm looking at what you... Are they a Christian band?
They were a Christian band. Yeah, they were sort of a trailblazer on this.
Oh,
sort
Resurrection.
Of like,
I get it.
Yeah. they were sort of trailblazers on the, like, not so much just the Christian rock circuit, but like the Christian hard rock kind of thing, you know, that didn't really come into most people's brains until the 80s when you had like Striper, you know, and bands like that.
These guys
were kind of doing it by like the early 70s.
I'm getting a thumbs up from Tom. I think we have a cut, right, Tom?
Yeah, let's listen to a little bit of Down Baby by the Resurrection Band.
All right.
I don't know. It sounds totally Christian to me. stay on the line, okay, Steve? We're going to do some more of this. I personally am truly fascinated. I hope everybody else is. And we'll continue on with some other avant-garde, maybe not avant-garde, but forgotten, underrated, or maybe never noticed bands. The Secret History of Chicago Music when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker with... Steve Krakow from, I'm just going to say he's the man behind the Secret History of the Chicago Music, and that's Off-Broadway. Stay in Time. I'm sure, Steve, you're familiar with that one.
Oh, yeah. Local hit.
Local hit. Had trouble, I guess, breaking nationally.
Yeah.
You know, we could be doing this all night. Why don't we get to some of the other items that you have here, and I'll get back to what I was going to ask you about. Peter Burkow.
Yeah.
Who is Peter Burkow?
Exactly. No, he's an interesting one. This one I had to do some legwork on. I tracked the man down and interviewed him over the course of several months to try and sort of get his story. And he's an interesting one. Born in Chicago, but mostly came up in Champaign, where I went to school at U of I. And, you know, I consider it part of the Chicagoland family.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
You know, as well.
And Rockford, too, for that matter.
Yeah, we're off-Broadway from Rockford, sure, you know.
Well, and not and Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, of course. One of these days I'll get to a band called The Names. Do you remember those guys from Rockford?
No, but I'd love to hear about them.
Maybe yeah.
Come back again.
Yeah, I gotta, you know, it's just, I always gotta sort of find the right person to get the info, you know, that I'm looking for.
So who's Peter Burkow?
Yeah, Peter Burkow, speaking of the avant-garde you mentioned before, he was a guy who delved into that, folk, jazz, he just did a bit of everything. He seemed like a really fascinating guy to me, and he did an album called Thesis, which was in fact his thesis recording, his thesis for graduating from school. Really interesting guy.
Now, wait a minute. He got to record a thesis?
He got to record a thesis.
Instead of writing a thesis?
Basically, I mean, hey, if you're in a music program, I can't think of a better way to show what you've learned, right?
That's awesome. You know? Yeah.
But yeah, and then he kind of went out to L.A. and sort of found fame and fortune, you know, more behind the scenes. But really interesting guy that, you know, I'm sort of endlessly fascinated by the sort of underground Champaign, Illinois music scene as well. And there really was one. It was a really interesting world.
Can we hear a bit of Peter?
Yeah, let's get a little Peter Burkow and Friends, Credit Card Blues.
Okay.
All that I want from life is an authorized master charge. I'll take a telephone credit card. 23 false addresses. Take a beat up school bus and gigs on the road, moving to keep alive. Maybe when I get older, the band would let me drive.
So, you said he's out in California now, Peter Burkow?
Yeah, he is. And I think that album he might have recorded when he first got out there. And it was looking like he could be on a major label, but he ended up putting it out himself.
And let's get to Bill. Is it Bill Coday?
Bill Coday.
I guess this is blues?
He was one of those guys who kind of also straddled some genres. I'd say between blues, soul, and R&B.
Let's hear some of that. It's fascinating. I don't know, maybe fascinating is the wrong word, as to how very talented musicians, I suppose it's like anything in show business, very talented musicians put together fantastic product, and yet they don't, for whatever reason, get to that moment where they cross over to sign with a label and have any kind of sustained success.
It's very true, and you know, and some, it's not always about the talent. It's just
they didn't have
a great manager.
Oh no, it's not about the talent at all. You know, and then from my days in Chicago rock radio, Radio stations back in the day, there were two AM stations in the 60s and through the 70s and the early 80s that were the, not the exclusive, but the main outlet for top 40 rock radio in Chicago. And they were so strict. Ask Dennis DeYoung about this. They were so strict about adding a song to the music list, even if the group was from Chicago. Styx took forever to get played on WLS. It had to be a hit somewhere over in Dubuque or Des Moines or Texas or somewhere else. It had to prove itself in a, like a quote-unquote medium market before it could even get added into the town that they're from, you know?
It's true. The playlists were very, unless you had a little payola going on.
Well, now, wait a minute. No. Let's not. No, they were. No, I can tell you that wasn't true. Listen, this is a little behind the scenes. But back in that day, the that station was owned by the ABC.
We haven't named any names in stations here, by the way. No names have been named in this.
Oh, I can name them. I don't care. I mean, it's part of history. And you, and the guys on the air, such as myself and ladies, Von Daniels, would have to sign a monthly affidavit, notarized, declaring that we did not receive any compensation for music that was played. And the same thing went for the program director and the music director. So that whole payola thing,
That was more the 50s that all exploded.
It was in the 60s. But it depended on what town you were in.
Right. Maybe, yeah.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate you coming on, Steve. It's awesome.
Thanks for having me. I bet. I've been hearing you on the radio since I was a wee lad listening to rock and roll myself.
Thanks for being with us.
All right. Thank you.